and then give them your card. And then when you say, if you or anyone you know is interested, that way it's not like, you need to get tattooed by me. Come get tattooed by me. I'm being weird and come get tattooed. Welcome to the Artful Dollar. It's me, Ryan, tattoo artist, creative, seeker, financial coach, whatever you want to call me. I am going to talk on a topic that is pretty near and dear to tattooers, but to all artists and creatives. But in particular, tattooers are talking a lot about slow season right now. And so I want to address slow season. What is slow season? What are my concepts or theories as to what are the reasons why this is particularly slow right now? I see dozens of comments on some Facebook pages and on Instagram of tattooers talking about just like they're normally really busy and all of a sudden like things have really dried up for them. So I want to talk about the reasons, like what's happening, what's changing in the world that we're seeing this, not just in a few isolated instances, but really all over the world you're seeing this. And I want to talk about some of the tools, the habits, the perspectives that have really served me throughout my entire life, my career. I think I'm going to start with a story because I think this story from my childhood explains a lot as to what has served me well over the years being able to market myself. And we'll talk about the difference between marketing and advertising and a whole bunch of stuff. But when I was about 8 years old, I found a bunch of squirrel bones in my friend's backyard. And they were in good condition. They weren't like all meaty and chunky and gross. Like they were like clean. They'd been there for a while. And I used to collect bones and animal skin, you know, taxidermy, stuff like that. And there was a store in New York, the Evolution Store, still there. It's a really cool place. It used to be a much tinier shop. And I believe they might be moving upstate. But anyway, I got it in my mind that I'm going to take these squirrel bones to the Evolution Store, and I'm going to trade them for a tarantula in a jar. I really wanted a pet tarantula, and I even wrote this story at one point about a kid with found a cave of tarantulas. You know, I was just fascinated with them. I wanted a pet tarantula, and my parents brought me to the store. I took the squirrel bones in. I probably had like a napkin or something they were wrapped in, and I took them up to the front, and I said to the guy, I remember I'm 8 years old at this point. The counter was really tall for me, I remember. I said, do you guys ever do trades? And the guy was like, I don't know, dude. You might have to talk to the owner about that. Let me get the owner. The owner comes out. Bill is his name. Really nice guy. We didn't know each other at the time. And I laid it all out. I'm like, hey, I'm wondering if you guys would be interested in trading. I have these squirrel bones. And he was like, well, what do you want? And I said, I want a tarantula in a jar. And at this point, my dad, as he recalls the story, he was kind of hanging out in the back watching his son, you know, make this request. And he was like about ready to like wave a $50 bill in the air and be like, you know, I'm going to help him out. But he didn't. And the owner came back with the tarantula and we traded. And what I now look back on this story and learned from this later in life. I didn't learn this at the time. I don't know where I got it in my mind to do this. No one told me to do this. I just had this idea. But one is I shared the story with him. I was like, yeah, I was in the backyard and I was at my friend's house and we found these squirrel bones and, you know, this is the skull and this is the head. And, you know, and just the fact that I'm this child, like interested, passionate, sharing this story of finding the squirrel bones. All that is really interesting to anyone having a conversation with a child or anyone about what they're passionate about, sharing a story. It's interesting. It's engaging. It resonates with you. It's fascinating. And so what I was doing in that moment is I was marketing the squirrel bones. Had I shot him an email with a picture of squirrel bones and said, hey, I want to get a tarantula in a jar. I want to give you these squirrel bones for it. What do you think? That would not have worked, but it was marketing the squirrel bones. So sending a picture of them would, you know, it's an email, but it's technically advertising. Advertising in and of itself is ultimately you have a product or a business or a service that you sell and you're showing the world the product or business or service that you sell. That's advertising. Marketing is creating a connection, resonating, and ideally an emotional connection, because most people, not all people, and they've done studies on this, most people are emotional buyers. They buy, they spend money mostly influenced by their emotions. A small percentage of people, maybe 10, maybe 20% of people, are logical buyers. They're much more logical in their approach. Those are usually the people that are also like really good at budgeting, because budgeting and having a spreadsheet and laying out all your expenses and sticking to a budget is a very logical thing, but it's never worked for me. I'm an emotional buyer, and budgets don't work for most people because they don't deal with money on a logical level. They deal with it from an emotional level. And that's one of the reasons why we run into a lot of issues with managing our emotions and managing our money. So that was one thing, was I was marketing these squirrel bones. It wasn't just a random trade with no story behind it. There was a story. It resonated. He was moved by this child. And we ended up connecting way later in life because he remembered that moment and he got in touch with me way later in life. It resonated with him so deeply that he followed up with me, found out that I was a tattooer, saw my art, and actually hired me to create the logo that they have used and use now for the Evolution store. So it was a real honor to get to work with him 20 years later when I was 28 years old. That's the power of marketing, is like you create an experience for someone that touches them deep inside, emotionally, spiritually, and it doesn't leave them and they feel connected to you even if they're not. The other thing that served me really well then, and I didn't even realize it until later in life how much this has served me, is I was not afraid to hear no. I had no concern. What are the chances of this guy, this professional guy who runs a taxidermy and oddities store, trading for some squirrel bones with a child? But it didn't occur to me that, you know, the worst that could happen, what did occur to me was the worst that could happen is that he could say no. And so what? I would still just have these cool squirrel bones. So I think a lot of people in general, businesses, but particularly artists and creative businesses, as artists, we are inherently more sensitive and we don't want to hear a no. We hear it as a rejection, especially if we're selling our art. And then we take it personally that if this person said no, then that must mean my art sucks. And if my art sucks, well, then I suck. And therefore, I'm not going to share my light. I'm not going to shine my light in the world. I'm not going to market myself. And I'm just going to wait for people to see it and then come to me and ask me for it, because then I don't have to deal with the rejection. And I'm probably going to undercharge, because if I overcharge, then they don't think that my work is worth what I think it's worth. And then therefore I am not worth what I think I'm worth. And therefore it's safer to undercharge myself and not market myself. That's what I believe a lot of the psychology is around creative entrepreneurs, tattoo artists, and the like, marketing and selling. And that's why we struggle with it, because we take it so personally. And if you can start to, one, this will serve you very well in life, in marketing, in business, in art, don't be afraid of no. In fact, lean into no. Try to get no's. Try to get as many no's as you can. There's a really great book that influenced me called Go for No. A marketing and sales coach that I worked with a couple years ago recommended it. And it is a story. It's a fictional story about a guy's life. As I recall it, I think I'm recalling this correctly, but more or less what I took away from it, my memory of it, is that it's a story about a guy's life. And I remember reading it and thinking, what the fuck is this book? This is a weird book, because it was about this guy's life taking two different trajectories. And one trajectory was the life he would live if he avoided hearing a no or being rejected at all costs, right? How his business went, how his relationships went, how everything in his life goes, coming from a place of just avoiding getting rejected or hearing a no. And then the other life timeline that was laid out for him was the one, if he leaned in, if he tried to get as many no's as possible, that getting a no didn't stop him. And in fact, he sought out no's, getting more no's, being rejected, actually seeking rejection in a way, because it meant that if you get more no's, you're going to get a lot more yeses. There's going to be a lot more opportunities available to you. And it's almost like creating your own luck. There's a concept in corporate America, you know, tech companies, where they talk about increasing the surface area of your luck. And it really comes down to just offering yourself or help or services or benefiting someone else in some small or meaningful or even bigger way. And the more you kind of create those connections, the broader the surface area of your luck is and the more quote unquote lucky you will get. The same goes for no. The more no's you seek out, the more opportunities that you go and say, well, they might say no, but they might say yes, but whatever, I'm going to go for as many no's as I can get. You're going to naturally kind of get luckier. Opportunities are going to be available to you that are not available to other people because you are not worried about getting a no. In fact, you're getting as many as you can. So this avoidance of no and this storytelling and creating resonance and authentic connection with our ideal clients, those two things are essential ingredients in effective marketing. Now, let's talk about what's happening in the tattoo industry. And it's not unique to the tattoo industry. It's happened before in other industries. It's just happening very obviously right now for tattooing, where you have an industry that prior, let's say in the past 10 years, to get clients as a tattoo artist, you either A, sat around a walk-in shop. And there weren't that many shops, so there weren't that many places for people to walk in and come and get tattooed. And so all you had to do was kind of sit around. And if you sat around long enough, people would come in and you'd talk to them and you'd tattoo them. And now in that moment, you had the opportunity to create that connection, to tell that story, to create that emotional buying experience because you're selling the tattoo. Some tattooers never were good at that. And so it didn't matter how many people would walk in, they would oppose everyone that came their way. That's a more of a mindset block. But and then the other way is just posting on Instagram, right? I've been tattooing since before Instagram, but once that came out, I was like, oh, I can just post pictures of tattoos. That's cool. And it was like all of a sudden, like you could just get more clients that way. And it was so easy. It was very easy to get clients from a business perspective, like all of business. That is extremely rare. That an entire industry overall, while you do have ups and downs and slow seasons and busy seasons, overall, it was easy to get clients. That's not common in business. That doesn't exist. Generally, when you start any business, service-based, product-based, whatever, brick and mortar, online, whatever the business is, you have to be strategic, you have to be creative, and you have to go and get the clients. They're not just going to come to you magically, easily. And tattooing has been in this space for the past 10 years where that was the case. It was just easy. That's just the way it was. What's happening now, and I see everyone talking about, oh, the tattoo industry is oversaturated. Those are the words they're using, oversaturated. They're overusing the words oversaturated. And they're basically blaming the oversaturation, quote unquote, of tattooing for them being slow, right? So they're pointing the blame, the source of the problem they're facing outside of themselves. And where you place the blame, you place the power. You've given all of your power to generate clients away. You've given it away to the thing that you're blaming. When you blame yourself, you take all the power. You have all the power. When you say, okay, if I'm not busy, it's because there's something that I'm doing or not doing that is responsible for the fact that I'm not seeing the results that I want to see. Hey, all you artful listeners, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for giving a listen to the podcast. I hope that it's bringing some value to you in your life. That's really why I started this podcast. And if you're getting something useful or valuable out of it, I just want to invite you to go rate and review this podcast. It really helps me out. And it also helps other people find this podcast so that they can get some value out of it. They can feel more free around money and just get some wisdom and some knowledge that we're trying to share on here. So again, I'm not really asking anything else of you other than to just leave a review and rating for this podcast. It really helps me out and helps other people find us. So thanks and enjoy the show. And no one wants to blame themselves. We as human beings, our egos, we want to avoid blame because if we're to blame, that doesn't look good. It means something about us that we don't like. And your ego doesn't want to look bad. Your ego will do anything to avoid, it will do anything to look good. But almost more importantly than looking good, your ego wants to avoid looking bad. And so if you're to blame, you're not getting the results, then you look bad. And so that's why we blame other things like oversaturation of the tattoo industry for the fact that I'm not busy. And so I don't choose to do that in any And they've been saying that the tattoo industry is oversaturated for the past 10 years. Let's be real. Like they've been saying that more and more and more, definitely in the past 3 to 5 years. And you know what? It's not going to get better. It's not like magically, like if you said it 1,000 times, that's not going to change anything. It's not going to make it less tattooers show up. So I don't waste any time taking actions, doing things or saying things that don't move the needle forward in the direction I want it to go. So if anyone out there and you've been guilty of this, just own it. It's okay. I'm not like, I'm not mad at you. Like just own that, like you've been giving your power away and I want you to take the power back and say, you know what? Okay, I'm to blame. And so what's happening is tattooing's becoming a normal business. This is normal in all businesses. People have to be strategic, creative, and they have to go out and hunt their clients. They have to create the connections. They have to nurture the relationship. And then they have to make an offer to sell someone on something. And so that's another thing. A lot of people are not, they're not only they're not marketing, but they're not even making offers. They're just waiting. You're waiting for your clients to market themselves to you and then make themselves an offer on your tattoos. That is counter to traditional business strategies. And now tattooing is a normal business. So welcome to 2023. Finally, tattooing has come of age. It is a normal business. And that's what's going on. There are a few other factors, but I do want to point out that that's what's happening. So there are a lot more tattooers. Is it oversaturated? I don't know. Do dentists complain that the dental industry is oversaturated? I mean, there's dentists all over the place. They're like, oh man, you know, there used to just be 5 dentists and now there's 4,000 dentists. Like God, it's oversaturated. People need to stop, shut down the dental schools, shut down. No, they don't do that. No, they learn to market themselves and they learn to build client relationships and get their clients. That's what they do. That's what any business is doing. Even businesses like Coca-Cola. Everyone knows Coca-Cola. It's like one of the most well-known brands across the entire planet. Coca-Cola didn't say, well, everyone knows us, so let's stop marketing and advertising. No, they still do it because they know if they do it repeatedly enough times, and this is a big part of marketing, is not just doing the right thing, but doing the right thing enough, doing it repeatedly. They know that they will see a higher return than, you know, there's a term in business called ROAS, return on ad spend. They know if they spend X dollars on ads and marketing, they will see a return that's higher. Their ROAS will be 2X, 10X, 100X, whatever their return on ad spend is. So that's one thing that's happening, is that tattooing is coming of age. The other thing that I think a lot of us can understand is that the market, the economy is shifting. As happens, no healthy economy stays the same. That doesn't make sense. Economies go up and they go down, they go up and they go down. And you had a couple things happen over the past couple of years, if you're aware of, you know, this thing called COVID, where there was a lot of money injected into the economy to save people that couldn't go to work. And then the month after the shutdown, when I could open up my studio again and get back to work, was the busiest month of tattooing in my entire life. I remember I made $19,000 of my own tattoos, not from my shop or anything. Me tattooing, I made $19,000 in 1 month, and it was the busiest, most lucrative month of my whole entire tattoo career. And then for the next year, it just stayed busy. I didn't have to do anything. It was wild. People were still getting checks. They were still getting government money. A lot of clients were like working off the books on the side and then also collecting paychecks. And that what they were doing with all that excess money is they were getting tattoos. And after going through the emotional trauma of living through COVID, especially here in New York City, where people were really shuttered in place and lonely and afraid, they were just eager to get tattoos. And I think we all saw this huge boom, and it took place over about a year, year and a half. And it just sort of became the norm for a lot of people. A lot of people just said, oh, wow, this is great. And they forgot what it was like. They forgot that it wasn't always this way, that it wasn't always so easy, so busy, that you weren't always able to drop, you know, $2,000-$3,000 on a tattoo in one clip. The other thing that happened is, yeah, a lot of new tattooers were born in 2020. A lot of bored people bought tattoo machines, started tattooing from home. You can judge all you want. You can place the blame all you want. But I'm not interested in wasting my time placing blame. I'm more concerned with how do I, one, improve myself as an artist, two, improve my marketing and my business strategies, three, how do I make sure that the money I am making is being channeled into the proper places and making the most out of the energy that comes into my life. And so a lot of tattooers during that really busy time, and I know this because I've spoken to over 1,000 tattooers in the past year, they weren't saving it. They maybe saved some of it, but they didn't actually consistently save enough. They didn't build a consistent saving habit. And when things slowed down, they, you know, continued to spend the way they were spending, and it just threw them into a financial struggle. So those are the other two factors. You do have a lot more tattooers. And you know what? You're going to have a lot more tattooers next year than you have now. And that cycle's, that's not slowing down. In fact, the tattoo industry, which is currently estimated to be at almost a $2 billion industry, it's like a 1.7, 1.8, I believe. And again, these, you know, estimates are purely that. They're estimates based on whatever data they have available to them, which is probably flawed because, as we all know, most of tattooers are living the pirate life. But based on all the data they have available to them, that's the estimated size of, that's the amount of money that exchanges hands within the tattoo industry. I'm not sure that that's actually accounting for tattoo supply companies, conventions, and other things. That's just tattooing and tattoo shops. It's estimated that's going to be about a 3.8, 3.9, almost $4 billion industry over the next, I can't remember now, I think it was like 5 to 10 years. Regardless, the point is it's growing rapidly. It's going to be doubling very quickly. I was looking up other statistics of growth rates of tattoo studios, or sorry, of tattooing in general, and it is growing at a slightly faster, not tremendously faster rate than other industries. But on average, in terms of the growth rate of most industries, tattooing is growing faster. Now, if you really just do a little thought experiment here, is it possible that the rate of tattooer growth, meaning the number of new tattooers born every year, is greater than the number of people born in your country or your location every year? Is it possible? Let's talk local. Let's talk Ohio or something. Like, let's get rural here. Is it possible that the number, or even New York City, it doesn't matter because it's all in relation. Is it possible that the number of tattooers is growing faster than the number, not just people being born, but let's even narrow that down now. The people that would potentially want to get a tattoo, right? Let's say people turning 18 or turning 25, any of these estimates that you look at, there's no way that the number of tattooers is growing faster than the number of people that want to get tattooed. There's just absolutely no way that that's possible. But there is more competition, 100%, and that means we need to adapt. The industry has changed, our jobs have changed, we need to adapt, and that is the number one most valuable skill in any business, in any industry that exists on the planet, is how adaptable are you? How willing are you to try something new and experiment with something and adopt new technologies? I was talking with someone that works in marketing and advertising for tattoo studios. It was Jesse from Inklink. He's on another episode of the podcast about a lot of tattoo shops that they work with. And I'm not going to, we weren't talking specific shops, but we were just talking. We both work with a lot of tattoo studios. And we were both saying that it's kind of like hanging out in the 90s. Let's just put it that way. In terms of the systems, the technologies, the perspectives, the tools that people are using on average, and that's not your specific shop, if you work with them or you work with me, but overall, on average, we've just noticed that. And I think everyone can agree, like there is an element, tattooers, let's just be honest, as a whole, we seem to resist new technologies. When the rotary machine came out, there was a huge uproar in tattooing as to, I don't know why, it's just a different tool. It either works or it doesn't work, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why anyone would have a moral or emotional opinion about whether or not, that if you don't like the tool, don't use it, right? Then iPads came out, right? I remember I went to the Boston convention and I felt like the only tattoo artist that wasn't drawing on an iPad. And then when I bought an iPad, immediately after that convention, with all the money I made from the convention, I immediately bought an iPad and I started to draw on it. My first thought was I just wasted $1,300 because it was so confusing and so alien to me. I'd so been used to drawing on paper my whole life and tracing and folding it over a light table and all that stuff, that I just was like, I'm never going to get this. And I forced myself and I got more comfortable. And then I did this and that. And then I got so comfortable on an iPad that when I would go to draw on paper, it felt kind of alien. And I would double tap on the paper to try to undo the marker and it didn't work. And now AI, and then Facebook and Google Ads. There's so many tools that while some people are quick to adopt and use, there's an overall air, an essence of resistance towards new technologies in the tattoo industry. Is it helping the tattoo industry? I mean, as a whole, I don't really see how it's possible that it could be beneficial. Are there things that get lost when you get new technologies? Sure, there are. And it's sacred. And you know what? Sometimes things that are sacred stay sacred because they don't work that way anymore. They don't get used. They happened that way for a while and they don't anymore. And the people that got to only draw on paper and do acetate stencils and make their own needles and build their own coil machines, like there's something sacred about that. I'm not going to take that away. And if that was you and that was your world, don't be afraid that new technologies are coming in. Just be grateful that you got to be a part of something that newer generations are never going to know or understand. And it makes it sacred and special. And if you want to continue working that way and not adopt any new technologies, do it. Do whatever works. If it truly works for you, if it really serves you and serves your purpose, right? There are people doing Tabori tattoos right now that could just pick up a coil machine. Some Tabori tattooers do both. But I find just do what serves you. Do what really serves what you're up to, what you want to authentically create in this lifetime. And don't be afraid to get a no. Don't be afraid to tell your story and be authentic and share vulnerably. All of these things are why we're now seeing this huge shift in tattooing, because we've been slow to the game. We've been slow to the gate. All the other businesses are at the starting gate of like how to operate a highly efficient and functioning business, right? Or they're close to that gate. Tattooers are starting. We've been slow to trot to that gate. And now we're at the gate. Mark my words, over the next 5 years, you are going to see drastic changes in the tattoo industry. And I'm not saying this to scare you, but it may scare some of you. And I'm going to tell you what to do about that. It's going to be survival of the fittest. It's going to be the most talented artists who have the best marketing strategies, who adopt the most contemporary technologies and marketing strategies that are going to rise to the top. And a lot of people are going to get left behind in the dust. That's what's going to happen over the next 5 years. You're going to see it. And I'm not making a judgment. There's no personal judgment. If you don't want to adopt these things and you don't want to do it, and maybe you can find that like niche of like, I still do these things in this way. And I found a way to market in a way that works for me or whatever it is. I'm sure there will be exceptions to the rule, but overall, that's what you're going to see happening in the tattoo industry because we were so slow to the gate. And in 2023, I feel like we've finally just gotten up to the gate of what it looks like to operate. What do we take from all this, right? The industry's changed. Whatever we've been doing that worked doesn't work anymore. There are certain economic and environmental and political reasons why our industry may be impacted, and that's normal for all businesses. So what do we do to solve this problem now and in the future? One, we have to be adaptable. We have to look at it and say, what am I not doing? Or what am I doing that I need to stop doing because it's not producing results? What new actions can I take? And I don't aim to give my best. So when I look at my business, tattooing, coaching, whatever it is, I don't try to do my best. I try to do what is necessary to accomplish the result that I want to produce. And until I'm producing the result that I want to get, I assume that I'm not doing what's necessary. And I shift and I change and I adapt. And you know what? Sometimes it's fucking hard. Welcome to business. If it was easy, everyone would be successful at it and it would be great. And you know what? It has been easy in the past, but things are different and tattooing is a normal business now. And it's not easy now and it's not going to get easy. Stop hanging out in the past, waiting for it to get easy. Get uncomfortable, start taking new actions. I sat down once and I said, what is every single thing, every action I could possibly take, even if it sounds crazy, that has the potential to create new clients. I was just giving a talk for a tattoo studio to the whole team about marketing. And, you know, someone asked me, you know, what about like, cause I was saying, you know, you need marketing everywhere you go. Like, and it's not about trying to be marketing or selling. It's about creating a connection. And someone said, well, what about if you just meet someone and you, how do you sell to someone on the street? How do you get them to, how do you market yourself? I was like, oh, you mean like a pickup artist in a bodega, like, you know, a corner store trying to sell a tattoo? How would I do that? I would walk up to them, especially if they had tattoos, right? If they don't have any tattoos, I don't know. I don't know how I'd pick that up, but who cares? I could talk to them about it, right? But if they have tattoos, especially if they have something that you think like maybe they'd be interested in the work that you do, and you say, hey, where do you get your tattoos at? And they'll tell you, oh, cool. Oh, I've never been there. Oh, nice. Have a conversation. Like, cool. I actually work locally at a shop, you know, around the corner, down the block, over there, wherever. Here, I just want to give you my card. If you or anyone you know is interested, feel free to hit me up anytime. You just made yourself so approachable. You just created a genuine connection. You're interested in where they're at, what they're doing. You had that conversation. Don't bullshit it. Actually get into their world and be, oh, cool. I like that. Oh, you know, have a real conversation and then give them your card. And then when you say, if you or anyone you know is interested, that way it's not like, you need to get tattooed by me. Come get tattooed by me. I'm being weird and come get tattooed. No, you're just saying if you or anyone you know. And then they're like, oh, you know what? I'm not looking to get tattooed right now, but my sister's in the market for a tattoo. I'll pass this on. Thanks. Right? And then you made that connection. If you did that once a day, every day, you'd be busy again. I promise you, you'd be busy again. But you would have to do two things. You would have to, one, be willing to put yourself out there, shine your light, create a connection, be authentic, be real with people. And two, you'd have to not be afraid of getting a no. And in fact, you'd have to want to get no's. Go out there, go to the corner store or anywhere on the subway or wherever you go, the 7-Eleven, the gas station. And now, like, if they're not getting, look like they want a tattoo that you do, don't do it. But like, when you see the opportunity, if you look for the opportunity, it will present itself. I promise you, it will. A lot of the time, a lot of opportunities go by, right? The guy's life went in two different directions. Start looking for those opportunities. First of all, get some fucking business cards. So many tattooers don't have physical business cards. Stickers are cool, but sometimes people just put the sticker on something and then they don't keep it on them. Put your email, phone number, and Instagram on there. Make multiple ways for them to contact you. The easier you make it for people to contact you, the better. Have a conversation with them. Say, hey, if you or anyone you know is interested, here's my information. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye. Do that once a day. You will stop being slow. I promise you. And now a lot of those people aren't going to get tattooed by you. Great. Go for no. Get as many as you can. Reach out to people on social media. Talk to your friends and family. Shine your light. And you will see that reflected back to you. So I hope that's helpful. And if you want to hear more content like this, follow, subscribe, hit the like button on YouTube, and please rate and review the podcast. I would really appreciate it if you did that. It helps me out, and even more so, it helps anyone else out that is looking to grow their business and be a successful artist. So have a great day. Thanks.